This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
Some time ago, someone remarked, "These are times that try men's souls." If there was ever a time that tries our soul, it is in the day in which we live. So much is going on in our world today, with wars, killings, with drugs, and so many other things that are disruptive of life. And sometimes we wonder, is there anything that we can do? Is there any way out? What we want to talk about today is the fact that whatever's happening in our lives, we can just keep going on. And we want to study about that today as we discuss the theme, running to the end. Keep running till you get to the end of life. Don't ever stop. I'm Billy Lambert. I'm the speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. We certainly appreciate those of you who may be watching today for the very first time. And we thank those who watch every time we come on the air. We hope that you will stay tuned as we discuss this very important topic today. You may already be a Christian. You may have already become a New Testament Christian, but you may get discouraged from time to time. Stay tuned. We're going to try to study things that will help us to never again become discouraged. Now, we're on Getting to Know Your Bible. We offer a free Bible correspondence course, and we want to make it available to each one of you today, and we're going to pause long enough for you to find out more about the Bible course and how you can receive it.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I want to read now the first three verses of the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. This chapter opens like this. See, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and we today are surrounded. I'm convinced that the people that he's talking about are the heroes of faith back in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. People like Abraham, people like Moses, people like Joseph, and so many, many others. All of these heroes of the faith are shouting to us today, telling us, you just need to go on. You can do it. And what of those that we have known who died a faithful life? They died faithfully serving the Lord. They are telling us by the life they live, Just keep going on. And he says that we need to lay aside those things that retard us or hinder us in the living of the life of a Christian. But very likely, the things that he's talking about here was one thing, the faithless living. There are those who do not have the faith and that they ought to have. They have weak faith or no faith. And as a result, they get sidetracked by things that in life. But we're taught in Hebrews chapter 12 to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And I believe that sin was a lack of faith. So we need to not allow things to pull us down. I think this points back to several passages of Scripture in the book of Hebrews, especially chapter 3, even into chapter 4, where we're warned about the danger of a lack of faith. It was a lack of faith that caused the children of Israel to wander for 40 years in the wilderness before they entered the promised land. We're taught in chapter 3, verse 19, they did not enter because of an evil heart of unbelief. We don't want our unbelief to hinder us in living a good life now, an eternal life in the world to come. He said you need to run. He did not say you need to walk. He said you need to run. I think when he used the word run, that suggests we're not standing still. He's not talking about a casual walk. He's talking about intensity of effort. You need to run. And he said you need to run with patience. You need to run with endurance. The race that is set before you. Try to imagine you're being in a race. Maybe there's a racetrack. And I have watched these young men and young women on television, and they will race. And I'm always thrilled to see who wins the race. And they win the race because they endure to the end. And there's a goal line. We're to keep running until we reach that goal. Paul realized that when he wrote the book of Philippians in the 3rd chapter, verses 13 and 14. And there he said, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We have to keep going on in life. Some people just sit down and they just wait to die. But I just do not believe we ought to do that. I think that we need, regardless of our age, to keep ongoing. I have reached a milestone in my life earlier this year, and that milestone was the big 8-0 in my life. I'm 80 years of age. But I'm going to tell you something. I refuse to quit. I refuse to give up. I'm going to keep going on with the help of the Lord. I do not want to give up. A lot of people give up. Sometimes I've known of those who were preachers, they would give up when they turned 65 years of age, and all they do is sit around, watch television all day long, and then they die an early death. Oh, no, we need to keep going on. There are those that give up. Paul wrote about that in the book of Galatians, chapter 5 and verse 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? So there are those that do not run well. That is, they quit running in the race of life. But the way that we keep going is we have to look at the goal line. We have to look at the prize at the end, and we do that by looking unto Jesus, who is the author, and He is the finisher of our faith. You see, Jesus is the beginning, and Jesus is the end. Jesus is the Alpha, and He is the Omega. And Jesus Christ, our and God, is our Father, and Jesus is at the right hand of God. He endured the cross. He despised the shame because for the joy that was set before him. There's no way that we could think that Jesus thought having nails driven through his flesh and a crown of thorns on his brow and being whipped with a scourge was a joyful thing to endure. But Jesus was looking beyond the cross. He was looking to those that would be helped by what he did on the cross. And to him, it was a joy. He endured the cross. He endured the shame of the cross. He endured the hostility of ungodly men. Why? He did that is to leave us an example of how we ought to live, that we should never, ever give up, that we need to keep on going. We need to keep running the race of life. They would never, never become discouraged. And that's what he tells us. Do not become discouraged. I want you to look now again in verse number 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. I think about those who scourged Jesus. I think about those who drove those nails into his hands and his feet. I think about those who stood there before the cross and mocked him and spat upon him. He said, don't become discouraged because of the hostility of people like that. He said, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Now, I want you to notice two words, the very beginning of verse 3. For consider. Consider what? Consider whom? Consider him. Consider Jesus. Jesus endured all of that for you and for me. And so let us never become discouraged. And that's what he says. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Many become discouraged. Oh, it's so easy to become discouraged. And I may be speaking to someone right now that's so discouraged with life. Maybe you're discouraged with your marriage. Maybe you're discouraged because of your finances. Maybe you're discouraged because of what's going on with your children. Maybe you're discouraged for other reasons. Maybe your health is not good. I don't know of anything that can cause an individual to come more depressed and discouraged any more than dealing with physical problems. So you may be discouraged right now. But that doesn't mean just because you're discouraged that you're sinning. Some of the greatest people in the Bible became discouraged. I want you to think about John the Baptist. He was in prison and he became discouraged. So much so that he asked this question about Jesus. Is this the one who should come or do we look for another? John was the forerunner of Jesus. They were cousins. And yet John became so discouraged seemingly that he asked that question. Jeremiah the prophet became discouraged. He was preaching to a people who didn't want his message. And in the 20th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, he became so discouraged, he said, you know what? I think I'm just going to quit. And that's in verse 9. Now, that's not exactly the way the text reads, but that's what he meant. He said, I'll just not speak anymore in his name. But then John the Baptist overcame his discouragement. He said, but his word was like a fire in my bones. He had the word of God burning in his heart, and he could not quit. So a lot of people become discouraged. Don't you think Jesus became discouraged some in the Garden of Gethsemane? Don't you remember what Jesus prayed to his Father? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. How will we overcome that? How are we going to run to the end without becoming discouraged? Let me give you 4 things I believe will help. Number 1, you need to realize that you're not alone. realize you're not alone. The Hebrew writer said we are encompassed, we're encircled, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Those of the past who lived faithful to the end, who did not stop running. And they're telling us today, you can do it. You can keep going on. The Bible says that God will never leave us and He will never forsake us, Hebrews 13:5. Realize that you're not alone. You have God. You're not alone when you have the Lord as your companion. You have friends. You have family. You have, maybe you have a church family. Your family at home. It is so easy for us to become discouraged. I think about Elijah, another man who became discouraged. Now, I want you to picture this if you can. Elijah had just challenged and destroyed hundreds of prophets of Baal. He had destroyed them. Jezebel finds out about it, and she takes out after Elijah. And Elijah gets on the run away from Jezebel. And he hides up under a tree and he says, Lord, just take away my life that I might die, not live any longer. He said, I'm the only one left. There's nobody else but me, Lord. You talk about a man discouraged. It was Elijah. But God reminded him that he was not alone. He said, why, there's 7,000 that have Elijah, that have not bowed the knee to Baal. You're not alone. You're not alone. And you will never be alone. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm never going to turn my back upon you. And then secondly, to overcome discouragement, you need to have a big yard sale. You say, now, preacher, wait a minute. You've got to be kidding me. Well, what do we do when we have a yard sale? That's when we get rid of things that we no longer need. And you need to start getting rid of things you no longer need in your life. You need to get rid of those things that are hindrances to you in living your life as a Christian. Have you ever watched a movie about the wagon trains of the out in the West? I remember when I was younger, I would always watch that show on television. It was always in black and white, you know. That sort of dates me, doesn't it? It's called Wagon Train. And sometimes they would get in a situation where maybe they didn't have the water they needed and they needed to lighten the load in the wagons. And they would start leaving things by the wayside as they would lighten the load in the wagon. And then it made it easier for them to go on. You see, we've got to lighten the load in our life by getting rid of things that hinder us along the way. And your hindrance may not be mine and mine might not be yours, but whatever hindrance each of us might have, if we're going to run to the end, we've got to get rid of the load. Let me tell you where burdens are lifted. I want to tell you where you get your load lifted, and that's at Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. And it's at Calvary that the burden of sin can be removed from your soul. Jesus died for that reason. He shed His blood for that very reason, that very purpose. In Matthew, the 26th chapter and verse 28, Jesus said, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus shed His blood for the remission of sins. How do we receive the remission of sin? How do I get that load lifted off of me? That's what the people in Acts the 2nd chapter wanted to know. When they learned they'd crucified the Lord of glory, They said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter answered and said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." The same expression for the remission of sins is found in Matthew 26, 28, as is found in Acts 2, 38. It is the same in the English. It is the same in the Greek. Remission of sins. We understand the word remission when we think about an individual that might have cancer. They have treatments. And then the doctor says, "You're now in remission." That cancer patient knows exactly what that means, that cancer is no longer working actively in their bodies. Our Lord Jesus Christ is in the remission business. He is in the business of remitting sins, getting rid of sin in our life. And it's when we believe in Him and repent of sin, and we're baptized into Christ in water, buried in water, that our sins are cleansed in His precious blood. "Why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." If you're still carrying a burden like that, I want you to know that that burden can be lifted and you can live a much better life, a life without discouragement, by having a yard sale, getting rid of things you don't need in your life, getting rid of the sin in your life. Let me give you a third suggestion that will help us to overcome discouragement. Learn to pace yourself. You say, "Well, now, what do you mean by that, preacher? To pace yourself?" Well, look what he says here. Run with endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Run. Run with endurance. In my younger life, I was a runner. I'd run every day. Regardless of the type of weather we had, I'd get out and run every day. I'd run in the rain. I'd run in the cold. I'd run in the heat. I'd run wherever I was, whatever country I might have been, state I might be in. I'd run every day. That was my lifestyle. And one thing I learned is that if you're going to be a runner, you have to learn to set your pace. And you need to learn how to run. And you need to just run with endurance, setting your pace. If it's 2 miles an hour, just set your pace at 2 miles an hour. If you can run 3 miles an hour, set your pace at 3 miles an hour. And if you keep that up, you're going to be able to get to the end of the stopping point where you plan to go. And so we have to pace ourselves in life. Some people are like shooting stars. They just shoot up and then they're gone. They're like a big blast and it's all over. But if we're going to survive in life, if we're going to keep becoming discouraged in life without losing heart in life, then we've got to learn to pace ourselves and be consistent in what we do day in and day out. I remember a preacher friend of mine talking about church work and how the church can grow and to be a thriving body of people. He said it's not the big things that you do that's kind of like an explosion now and everybody gets all excited over it. He said it's the things that you do day in and day out in a consistent way that will help the church to become everything that ought to be. Well, that's the way it is in life, isn't it? It's not the big thing I do for the moment, and then I have to go sit down somewhere and rest about a month or two. No, no. It's the things that we do every day, day in, day out, consistently, with endurance. We learn to pace ourselves daily. Now, here's the fourth thing that will keep us from becoming discouraged. We need to rivet our attention on where we're going. We need to rivet our attention on where we're going. Notice what he says in the text. Looking unto Jesus and looking at the cross of Christ and looking at heaven above. We've got to keep our attention on where we're headed. Paul in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. We've got to stay focused. I think one of the greatest hindrances to life in general is a lack of focus on what you're trying to do. Sometimes it's not easy to stay focused on things because there's so many distractions in life. But if we don't want to become discouraged, if we don't want to lose heart in living for Christ every day of our lives, we've got to stay riveted on where we're headed. Look at the cross. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And so these are some things that I want to suggest that will help us to stay on pace in living the Christian life. And it might be that you're not a Christian yet. It may be that you've thought about becoming a Christian. And in order to be one, you believe in Jesus and you repent of your sins and you're baptized as a confessing believer in Him to be saved. Jesus said, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. Would you do that today? Let me help you. Let me send some servant of God to you that he will assist you in being baptized. And now, right now, call for the free Bible course. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Hi there, I'm Ray Reynolds, the Marketing Director for Getting to Know Your Bible. I want to encourage you to check out Pray.com, a resource where you can read daily Bible readings or get daily prayer ideas. And there you can also now find Getting to Know Your Bible. You can search for Getting to Know Your Bible or for Billy Lambert and find resources available to you through podcasts and previous programs that we'd love for you to check out. We want to encourage you in your daily walk for God. We pray that God will bless you and use this resource to do so. Thanks for tuning in to Getting to Know Your Bible.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.